This week on Future of Sex.
I personally have never had a full body orgasm where it's substance free and clitoral stimulation free.
And I always felt with my average size cock, I was sexually invisible and have no idea how to navigate that part of my life.
We have this obsession with libido and what some people refer to as sex drive, of this idea of being really sexed up and ready to go. And I think that part of it, to be honest, is this obsession with youth and horniness.
I was gonna just put this vibrator on my clit and like fucking fireworks were going to explode.
We spent so much of our humankind sort of lionizing and looking upwards instead of sort of feeling inwards.
Hey, I'm Bryony, and welcome to Future of Sex, the podcast that explores the evolving worlds of sex and tech. In today's episode, we're going to dip our toes into the more spiritual side of sex tech. Things like mindful masturbation, pleasure wiring, slow pleasure. What do these terms actually mean? If you want to be sexually woke, how do you get there? But before we get started, I just want to remind you this podcast contains explicit language and adult themes, so pop your headphones in if there are little ones around. Now, I know taking care of our sex life is as important as taking care of our social life, our beauty routines, our political lives. We know this. This is why we're listening to the podcast. We want to extend our knowledge about sexuality. But for so many people, when they're looking online, all you see is these goal-oriented questions or articles, right? Like, how do I get the best orgasm? How do I help her reach more orgasms? I think for the most part, a lot of content around sexuality and being better at sex is focused on a goal, and we actually need to zoom out from there and ask ourselves deeper questions around the purpose of sex. Let's not start from orgasm. Let's start from a core human value that's been so ignored in conversations about sexuality, really, on a day-to-day basis. Is like, what does sex mean to you, and how is your body wired? What can you try to enhance your experience beyond just buying a sex toy? Now, I've been interested and curious in this space, but I'll admit I am no spiritual guru. I am equal parts basic bitch. I kind of like athleisure, and I love also being a tech geek. So my mission was to find the people that I think know the most about being sexually woke, dare I say. And I have these friends in self-aware places that luckily like to talk to me about these things. So I'm bringing in the big guns. We're going to move straight into a conversation with Kenneth Play, who has been dubbed the world's greatest sex hacker. So listen up, you're going to get some practical tips as much as some sort of deeper knowledge about, how your body might experience more pleasure. Okay, let's go.
There's the idea that, I can improve my sex life with these different things, working on my pleasure and what's going on with my self-esteem. But I wonder if we can dive into the topic that you most want to talk about first, which is like improving your mindset around sex and having this growth mindset beyond what I think we get told so often is like, for a woman, go discover yourself and masturbate and buy a sex toy. Like, what next?
Yeah, and they teach you things like communicate, but you don't know how to communicate, and then you feel awkward and more stuck than ever. I think there is sort of, the first change is adapting a sex positive attitude. And I think our culture like is really changing that. We are celebrating female pleasure. There's a lot more pussy power out there. But I think ones that, they feel that it's okay or they feel empowered, they don't necessarily know what to do. And I really kind of model myself after Tim Ferriss was, what can I possibly deconstruct? Like, where can we possibly grow? If we adopt a growth mindset, meaning that we can change something, then what can change, and what domain? So I really like this model of looking at an experience from their perspective on there's only five interfaces we're dealing with. So one is sensation, right? So sensation is what we feel, like tactile data, to like what we see, what we hear, what we smell. So that lies in our senses. So hence the vibrator is such an amazing invention because it could hack our senses, right? Just basically on the sensation. And you could find the right pattern, right amount of vibration, right amount of pressure. And then there is our emotion. Like what kind of emotion do we could be feeling that optimize our experience? Then we have our thoughts, like what is happening in our mind? Like, what are we thinking? Are we thinking like arousal supportive thoughts? Or are we thinking about groceries? And then there is our perception, like the mindfulness piece on how much are we paying attention to the experience. And the last part is our movement, like how we are moving our body. So I kind of broke it down to all those domains and what sex hack works for which part. You know, is if people are stuck, are they stuck because they keep thinking about something? Are they not paying attention? Are they not getting the right sensation? Are they like feeling the, like not the right emotion? So if I'm looking from like an optimized performance point of view, what is it the right state for them to be in order for them to, you know, get the most out of sex? So one of the things I really, this concept of theory I really been trying to educate the world is that there's pleasure wiring as in literally like how your nerve is laid out, like spread out in different genitals. So if you look at like, just say every vulva vagina owner has like their G-spot might vary just a bit, you know, like one works for like they really like their cervix touch versus one that absolutely hate it. It causes pain. One could orgasm from, you know, anal alone, but one doesn't. So what creates the diversity between people? And it turns out that there's a slight variation on how the nerve literally lays out to the genital. So some people would really like to rub it like, you know, I don't know, at 9 o'clock of their clit. But some people just like above the hood. So there's both the baseline, like the wiring that you're born with, and then their pleasure habit is basically how you've been trained your body to produce an orgasm reliably. So if you masturbate the same way over the last 20 years, of course, there'd be like a huge neural groove. Just like if someone who never played the violin or the piano, they didn't develop those skills, those nerves to know where the keys are and what it sounds like, right? So if you think about your own genital as an instrument, you've been playing this instrument this particular way. So you've been creating those nerves that particular way. And then also on top of it is how you learn what's pleasurable will kind of set you off in a pattern. So I think one of the things that I really love learning about people is basically what is their sexual history that led them to their discurrent moment. And then based on that is what can they change and what should they focus on?
Mm. And why would someone want to change it? Is it good for you to experience different, I don't know, habits or create change habits? Like, what's the advantage of someone if they're really stuck in a groove and they like, you know, 9 o'clock on their clit, why should they change?
I don't think anyone should change anything. You know, I think it's a very personal choice. But I think like there's a huge population that does not know what's pleasurable for them. Or especially when it comes to partner sex. And I focus a lot on their heterosexual couple. When the women are really having trouble gaining the type of pleasure that she wants in partner sex. Now, obviously, if you have one way of reliable having orgasm and you like having that all the time, absolutely. But I think, you know, because the orgasm gap is so huge for so many straight women, like how can we figure this out? So women are having more pleasure. And on top of it, there is sort of like, you know, I could feed you the same thing every day and you get full. But I think one of the challenges a lot of straight women are dealing with is sexual boredom.
Right.
You know, how do you spice it up? Like literally, how do you get out of being bored or is it same old, especially when it comes to sex, when the pattern become predictable, it's less rewarding. So that's like brain chemistry going against our habits, you know? It's like eating a TV dinner or like just ordering food all the time, right? Like, you, of course, you get hungry and you could like find the easier path, right? But that doesn't mean that it's an experience. So, like, people could drink Soylent and not die. It doesn't mean they live a good life. Like, they didn't have all the mouth pleasure they could possibly have, right?
How much of this is to do with mindfulness?
I think the first thing they need to know is that it is their choice to pay attention. So first thing is, this is an area that you could definitely improve. So that's the growth mindset bit, right? And second is your choice to pay attention. And that training begins on wherever you at the moment, your ability. And just like learning how to bet better at a video game, an instrument or sport or whatever, like things that you want to work on, you could improve that skill. And the more you are able to pay attention to their experience, the more you will get the enjoyment out of it. And they'd be so surprised a little bit of training could go such a long way. You know, if we look at sex like someone who's a couch potato that never worked out in their entire life, they have no idea what their genetic is capable as far as like fitness is concerned. So for me, it's not like everybody needs to be an Olympian, but I think people could definitely get to a point where they don't feel, you know, like sexual frustration and dysfunction. They could really enjoy the hell out of their sex life, whatever that means to them.
Tell us about the similarities in the mindsets for mindfulness and kink.
Kink is definitely one of the sex hacks that makes you pay attention. So if you think about it, if you're getting a spanking, right, and you're feeling that intense sensation, your brain is going to pay attention. You can't really like, yeah, like someone's slapping me in the face, I'm thinking about the spreadsheet, you know, like it just doesn't work. So a lot of kink creator, you know, earlier when we talk about like from the emotions to, you know, your movement to your what you think about, basically kink is a way to curate that experience where your emotions are like intentional, your sensation is intentional, the narrative, like what is the scene? Is this the power dynamic thing? Are you a bad girl that needs to be punished? Like it really just kind of get all those things like line up in a curated intentional experience so you could feel it all. You know, you also like always playing with their parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. So you're toggling between the two. So meaning that you have to be in rest and digest parasympathetic in order for you to feel arousal. And then you have to be in sympathetic flight or flight to have orgasm. So when you learn which trigger was switched to which, it will like increase the excitement or like, you know, or get you to come. And some brains are like really underwhelmed most of the time that you have to give them something really like dramatic in order for them to pay attention. So that's why like some people like Michael Bay's movie, right? It's like, it's epic every second. So they stay excited. You know, for some people, they are so sensitive that they want the tantra side, right? Everything is just slower and more gentle. It's not overwhelming. So it depends on the brain.
This season of Future of Sex is brought to you by our partners at WeVibe. WeVibe recently launched their Nova 2. So it's the new and improved Nova. This goes beyond a classic rabbit vibrator. It offers non-stop pleasure. You can check out this week's guest, Aubrey Marie, and her yoga class using the vibrator. I think that's the first time I've ever seen that. You can check that out on WeVibe's website. We'll link it in the show notes as well. And Aubrey takes us through bandhas, breathwork, and meditation for pelvic health and enhanced orgasms. It is so good. It really puts you in a different headspace. So I highly recommend checking that out. And if you're into the Nova 2, we're offering our listeners a 5% discount code on that and all the WeVibe products. So just visit WeVibe.com or the link in our Insta bio at Future of Sex. And when you've found what you want, just enter the code FUTURE at the checkout for your discount.
I've never been able to make myself have an orgasm, but with a partner, it's like, you know, instant and maybe seven.
This is Aubrey Marie. She's a well-known yoga instructor, an Instagram influencer, and a ton of fun to hang out with. We got talking about sexual awakenings. Who better than someone from the yoga world to talk to about spiritual awakenings and get real about what that actually means. What's interesting about Aubrey is Unlike most women who experience the orgasm gap where they are unable to come from penetrative sex, Aubrey had the reverse, where she could only have an orgasm with a partner until her awakening, which we get into now.
You know, and this is just my personal experience, not to speak of anyone else, but it seems like, talk about just a broken or a massive imbalance of masculine and feminine and a lack of self-love, right? That when there's this validation from an external male source or more male energy, that I'm able to have this eruption of orgasms.
Wow.
But when it's only me, I'm not able to have one, right? Like, how wild is that?
Wow.
So that's been an interesting journey. Like, I have, you know, got my first vibrator in November and just kind of getting to know it. And now it's like this, like, it doesn't even, an awakening of myself. Like, I started working with WeVibe in May, and I would say from May to now, my orgasms and my masturbation practice has changed and developed into this space where it feels like a non-negotiable.
A non-negotiable. That's what her masturbation practice has become. And she goes on to say it's as vital as brushing her teeth. I love this switch that she's made. And I'm going to share the story she tells of getting her first vibrator, which was only last year, but it's so transformational. And I think a lot of people can relate to that first purchase.
You know, I remember when the first time I got it, I was like, I thought I was purchasing like the magic pill, right? And so I thought that I was going to just put this vibrator on my clit and like fucking fireworks were going to explode. And I set it on there and it was like literally as sensationless as like placing it on my shoulder. I was like, the fuck is supposed to happen now? You know, and it actually went unused for a couple of months. And then, you know, my partner now, we had taken a break and I was like, well, I guess I'll try this again. And it was that moment when I realized, oh, when I'm having sex, I'm in connection with my body. I'm breathing. I'm out of my head. Whereas I'm sitting with this like plastic toy and I'm only in my head. I'm not breathing. I'm not moving. I'm just sort of sitting there with no mindfulness, right? And with a lack of energetic connection. And as soon as I shifted that and kind of this exploration, right, of the moment, it was so simple. You're like, oh, there it is. It's science. At the end of the day, if you can pull yourself out of that sympathetic state, if you're sitting in that space, there's a good possibility you're not going to enjoy yourself because it's science. Your brain it has you on high alert. Like your brain thinks you're on the Serengeti and you're about to be attacked by a lion. Like, you know what I mean? You're in fight or flight. You're not going to have an orgasm. So like hyperventilate a little bit, get yourself a little bit high off your breath and chill out. Try again. Like, and approach it from this like soft space. One of the more interesting experiences I've had in recent times was like to set up a mirror and to truly like, you know, if I were experiencing me from an outside perspective, what about me would I appreciate, right? Would it be like the way my clavicle sits? Would it be my breasts? Would it be my abdominal? Would it, you know, what part of my body would I want to rub if I were like a young man that had never touched my body before? And to experience your body as someone else for the first time, right? But then I immediately laughed and I got this huge smile on my face because if you would have told tomboy Aubrey, who just loves to like have her orgasms on top, that you would to look into a mirror and make love to yourself, I would tell you to go fuck yourself. Like, get out of here. No way is that happening. So it's a practice. Like, I think we can always come back to our breath because no matter where you are, that's a tool to get you further, right? So whether you're like, well, I'm just not comfortable in my skin. I don't want to do right. Breathe. It'll get you a little bit closer. If you're at this space where you're like, I really love myself and I'm looking for that full body orgasm, breath work's going to get you there. So again, it doesn't matter where you are. Being in connection with yourself and having an acceptance for where you are and compassion and love and all of that is practice, right? And but yeah, to keep it simple too is close your eyes and breathe and visualize and be creative, right, with your thought process. And again, all else fails, breathe.
You know, Stanford professor and clinical psychologist Dr. Brittany Blair describes learning to be more mindful in bed as the secret to having hotter sex. That's what her app Lover is all about. And if you want to go further into your practice around mindfulness and mindful masturbation, download the app and start to try those exercises. When you download it, you'll get your own personalized treatment plan of scientific techniques and exercises to follow. And that can be anything from increasing your sex drive to what we're talking about today, experiencing more pleasure in bed. The stats are pretty impressive too. So 75% of couples who follow the exercises in the app report an increased sex drive. So why not do it with your partner? If you want to download the app, you can get yourself over to lover.io today or just search Lover in the App Store. A quick note here. I am so excited to share this interview with you because any excuse to talk to Euphemia Russell is a delight for me. But Euphemia has this way with words and a perspective around pleasure that is something I feel like everyone should embrace, around pleasure just being part of the richness of your life and not something that, you know, you deserve on occasion. So we get into it here.
We've spent so much of our humankind sort of lionizing and looking upwards instead of sort of feeling inwards. The future is still human-centered if we remember to keep technology as a tool and an extension of what we cultivate within ourselves. And then that's when it can have a really beautiful integration.
What is slow pleasure?
I'm still working that out myself. That's definitely part of the exploration. But I suppose the way that I am explaining it at the moment, my little spiel, is that pleasure is beyond sex, orgasm, and genitals. It's something that's available to us all the time, not necessarily front of mind if there's other things that are happening, but that when we slow down to the pace of our body in that moment and know that we have choices for the pace of how we're moving and operating, that we can actually slow down to pause and realize the pleasure that's available to us in each moment, and to be able to build our attunement to our body and to what we actually want and need and desire. We have this obsession with libido and what some people refer to as sex drive, of this idea of being really sexed up and ready to go. And I think that part of it, to be honest, is this obsession with youth and horniness, which is not available to all people all the time, depending on mobility and capacity and their body and maybe chronic pain and so on. And that we actually can experience pleasure in so many different ways. And when it comes to libido, I talk about the analogy that we think about it as a switch, where we're either desexualized and completely void of sexuality, and then suddenly we want to have sex and we just expect to be able to flip that switch on and that everything's roaring, ready to go. And it's this kind of instantaneous process. And the reframe that I offer people is that it's like a dial, or it's something that we cultivate. It's moment to moment, or what I call the small moments, where we cultivate our desire, we connect to our bodies, we connect to our, what are our yeses, our nos, our boundaries, our motivations, our fantasies. And that's not something that you just hide in the back of your mind or forget about in your body. So it's something that you're always cultivating, always tuning into, always tapping into. And that doesn't necessarily look really sexy or hypersexualized.
I experienced my first orgasm when I was 36 years old. And that stimulation is what gave me that idea of, okay, I've never been touched like that. What do I need to do to get that again, that feeling? Now I've got my own techniques that I know can allow me to have these orgasms, either quicker, longer, multiple. And it's the most loving thing you can do for yourself. Explore, discover.
You are responsible for your own orgasm. It's not about anyone giving you an orgasm. Mm. It's not about them figuring out your body. Like, I used to believe that someday my prince will come and so will I.
And to close this all out today, I'll leave you with Kenneth Play.
So mindfulness is so important. You could dial everything correctly. You know, like, I don't know if you ever turn on a Netflix show, like it's a world-class production, it's the best show ever, and you're on your phone. You gotta skip the movie, right? So no matter how good it is, if you're not paying attention, you know, but there's a moment when you're paying attention to a movie or like you're listening to a podcast when everything else fade away, that you're in this kind of trance state focus. So a really good movie draw you in. So the drawing in part is that a lot of people, because of our cell phone, we forget how to pay attention or be really drawn. We even have trouble like watching our favorite show. So I think technology is fucking us up on the side of like perception and attention, because we only train to be distracted and we only pay attention to the most like urging thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We no longer have the ability, or a lot of us struggle with the ability to pay attention to the subtlety of life. But a lot of sexual pleasure lies in the subtlety. So I think a lot of the mindfulness training is like giving people I call it sexual fitness too, right? Like your state of readiness. Do you have the ability? Are you sexually fit to experience it? Can you watch a movie? And then on the other side is that if we always are passively consuming arousal, like we're waiting for something external to turn us on, we have no ability to arouse ourselves. So because of, just say if you use a vibrator, I'm not shitting on vibrators. I love vibrator. I think they're like an amazing, amazing labor-saving device. That's why I call them. But the sensation is provided by you, right? And the arousal is like, maybe you're reading an erotica, maybe you're like watching porn, right? So everything is fed to you. So I think training people to have the ability to create their own eroticism, right? To have the creativity, to curate the experience is also really important, because that's way more dependable than just being fed all the time. Sex is really hard. You have to have the ability to do it. You know, like, of course, other people could pleasure you, but no one could control your focus. So this is not an area that you could actually get aid. Like, it's still up to you.
Thanks for listening with us today. This podcast was produced by David Lamb and myself, and this episode was edited by Chad Michael Snavely and the team at Sound On, Sound Off. To hear more of their work, visit chadmichael.com. And of course, if you've got any questions or feedback or just want to keep up with what I'm doing, follow us at Future of Sex on Instagram. And if you want to go deeper with any of the people featured today, we're going to add their links in the show notes. That's for Kenneth Play, Aubrey Marie, and Euphemia Russell. Closing it out now, and we'll see you next week.